Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psachim Daf Chof Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 13 lines from the bottom of Daf Chof Hey. You will notice that a bracket appears, a bracketed section, and you'll also notice we have a bracket length indicator, the dash dotted line, running down the side of the Gemara text. This is a very long bracketed section. So let us say a word or two about the structure of the Gemara before we get into it. During our previous shiur, we were discussing the issue of Isurei Hanoah, things that are forbidden to benefit from, not only prohibited in eating them, but even from receiving benefit from them. We have a note on the side, which in fact we read at the end of our previous year, but as an introduction to this year, let's take a look at this note, which is accompanied by a double star and the inside margin. The note reads, Acharei HaSograyim, after the bracketed section, HaGemara Choseres Ladun Be'orlo V'oid Klolim B'Isurei Hanoah Regilim. The Gemara will discuss Orla, which is a point that we had already discussed in our previous year, and other rules concerning Isurei Hanoah. Besoch HaSograyim, within the brackets, HaGemara Mevia Sugyas Yehorik Val Yavor. The Gemara will introduce the topic of Yehorik Val Yavor, which is a topic whereby where we are introduced to the concept of one's giving up of his own life and not violating a particular mitzvah. The Gemara will specify what those mitzvahs are. Hakshura leGemara Shelanu, the topic of Yehorik VaYavor will be connected to our Gemara, Bozeh Shehen Gam Kein Isurei Hanoah, because they also involve elements of things that are forbidden to benefit from. Likewise, we have a topic heading and structural note that you can see in the other margin where we've written Nosei Mivneh. The Nosei is the topic heading, Mivneh is the structural note, and we've indicated Toch HaSograyim. This features the topic within the brackets, and we've entitled this Yehorig Ve'al Yavor, sacrificing one's own life in favor of, instead of violating the mitzvah. Again, we'll specify which mitzvahs. There will be a triangle that you can see with a colored in tip. These are Shnei Lishonos Shel Rabbi Yochanan, two versions of Rabbi Yochanan, Bechol Misrapin. One can use for therapeutic purposes basically anything. Chutz Mi, number one, except for Atzei Asherah. Atzei Asherah is a tree that was worshipped in an idolatrous fashion. And number two, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shvichus Damim. Idolatry, immorality, and murder. So now, let us take a look at the Gemara. Omer of Yankiv, Omer of Yochanan, Bechol Misrapin, one can use anything for achieving a remedy, helpful for helpful purposes, for their therapeutic value, chutz me atzei asherah, with the exception of the idolatrous tree. So that when the Gemara says you can use anything, we are coming to include even things that are forbidden in general to receive benefit from them. So when it comes to refuah, one can use anything, even Isurei Hanoah, with the exception of Atzei Asherah. Heichi Domi. what are the circumstances? If you'll say that you're dealing with something that's life-threatening, one would think that you can use atse ashera as well. And if there is no life-threatening element, so afilu kol isurin shebetora nami loi, then even things that are not any other type of isur in the Torah, not just atse ashera, they would all be forbidden. Li'olam de'ika sakana. We are in fact talking about a situation where there is a sakana. Ve'afilu hachi atse ashera lo, and even though there's an element of life-threatening danger, one cannot use the atse ashera. Tesanya, Rabbi Lezer Omer, Im Ne'amar. Well, the Tanaic source that you can see in a frame is going to give us the basis for why, even though one is confronted with something life-threatening, the use of atse ashera for relief would not be allowed. The Brisa that is introduced has Rabbi Lezer telling us, Im Ne'amar b'chol nafshecha lomo, ne'amar b'chol modecha. Now these psukim quotes should be familiar to many of you. They are from the Kriya Shema, where we say that v'yohavto es Hashem elokecha b'chol levavecha u'v'chol nafshecha u'v'chol modecha. And the Torah is commanding us to show our love of the Kodesh Baruch Hu with all of our nefesh, all of our soul, if you will, or all of our spirit, and with all of our ma'odech, all of our wherewithal. So, if the Torah is saying that you shall love the Almighty with all of your spirit, why is it necessary to say b'chol ma'odech, with all of your wherewithal? V'im ne'mar b'chol ma'odech, and if we are told to express your love and dedication and devotion to the Almighty with b'chol modecha, so then lomo ne'amar b'chol nafshecha. Why say that? There seems to be an element of redundancy. Elo lomar loch. Rather, what the Torah is communicating to us is im yesh adam shegufo chaviv olav mimono. If there's a person who values his life, which is reflected in the expression b'chol nafshecha, more than he adores or values his mamon, his money, his wherewithal, his possessions. So, l'kach ne'amar b'chol nafshecha. Therefore, the Torah says that when it comes to your devotion to the Almighty, as is expressed, v'yohavto es Hashem elokecha, so show that devotion with all of your most valuable possession. For this kind of person whose gufo is chaviv olav mimono, so he should show his devotion through his life breath, through his spirit, through his body, through his entire being, through his life. Ve'im yesh adam shimamono chaviv olav migufo, and if there's a person whose wherewithal is more valued to him than his own life, when it comes to devotion to the Almighty, so then you would be expected to sacrifice your wherewithal, which in this case, for this kind of person, his wherewithal is his most valuable possession, in devotion to the Almighty. L'kach ne'amar b'chol modecha. Therefore, the Torah says that you shall love the Kodesh Baruch Hu, show your devotion to the Kodesh Baruch Hu with all of your wherewithal. So we see from here that when it comes to a function of using atse ashera, which is in effect a deviation from the devotion to the Almighty, one is expected to sacrifice, even if it's a function of something that's life-threatening, like we said, iko sakona. One cannot deviate from his devotion to the Almighty by using that which is of an idolatrous nature. Because the idolatrous element shows a deviation from the devotion to the Almighty. And when it comes to your devotion and love of the Almighty, that is of supreme importance. Ki osa rovin om Rabbi Yochanan b'kol misrapin chutz me'avodazora v'gili aroyos u'shvichus damim. This is our second version of Rabbi Yochanan, whereby one is taught that one can use practically anything for his own welfare, for his health, for his refuah, with the exception of idols, immorality, or murder. The Gemara now goes on at the top of Amud Beis to feature each one of these elements. Idolatry, immorality. When we speak about immorality, we're referring to engaging in illicit intimacy with those kind of situations which are considered called serious moral offenses. And that has to do with intimacy with any number of different relatives that the Torah lists, as well as married women. And there is more on this to say than we will discuss right now. We'll leave this as the realm of Gilui Arayos and Shvichus Damim. So now, where do we know each one of these points from? Avodah Zorah Ha'damoran. We already showed that when it comes to Avodah Zorah, it comes to idolatry, so one must forego his own welfare, even his own life, and not violate Avodah Zorah. And that we learn from B'chol Nafshecha. That's V'yohavtes Hashem Elokecha B'chol Levavcha U'B'chol Nafshecha U'B'chol Modecha. And B'chol Nafshecha is a reference to sacrificing one's own life in favor of his expression of devotion to the Almighty, which otherwise would be contradicted by idolatry. Gilui Arayos. Where do we see that one must sacrifice his own life, and hence he cannot be misrape? If the refuah were to be achieved, or the salvation of one's life would be achieved through the violation of illicit morality, which we call immorality or forbidden intimacy. So if we skip the next two words, as we see them in brackets, the answer to that is Desanya, is found in the following Tanaic source. So Gilui Arayos will be featured in the following Tanaic source. What, as far as the structure of this line, it's a little tricky, but that's why we have Shvichus Damim in the brackets, because the issue or the proof of Shvichus Damim, which is the topic of murder, where one must give his own life if he is being presented with a choice of sacrificing his own life or taking the life of another. So one cannot take the life of another in order to save his own life. That will be proven later on. And you can see we have a triangle a few lines down from here where Shvichus Damim appears. So as far as the immediate topic is concerned, the Gemara is focusing on Gilui Arayos. That's why we have the Shvichus Damim in the brackets. So the Gemara says, Gilui Arayos, Desanya, but just to read it as the text appears, Gilui Arayos Shvichus Damim, Desanya, and this Braisa will be dealing with Gilui Arayos, Rebbe Omer. Ki kasher yokum ish al rehu uritzochoi nefesh kein hadavor hazeh. Now, there's a pronoun, and at the end of this quote, hazeh, the context of this posuk is a married woman who's referred to as a naro hamurasa, literally in English translations, she'll be referred to as the betrothed maiden. But it's a reference for our purposes. You're dealing with a woman who is considered an Ashes Ish. She is married to a particular man. And there's an issue of immorality coming up, where she's being threatened with relations with another man. So the pasuk says, as is the case of a man rising to murder another man, so too is this matter, the matter of the married woman being threatened with an act of immorality. So that's the pasuk in its raw form. The Brisa asks, V'chima inyan rotseach etzel na'aro hamurasa. What is the connection between the topic of murder and the topic of the na'aro hamurasa? Hare ze bo l'lamed. The initial appearance of the pasuk is that the topic of murder is coming to teach about the topic of the immorality. V'nimtza lomeid, and the opposite actually takes place, where we're going to learn from the topic of the immorality to the topic of murder. How does that operate? Makish rotzeach l'nam rosa. The Torah is comparing the topic of murder to the topic of the na'aro hamurasa. Ma na'aro hamurasa nitan lahatzila b'nafsho. Just like in the case of a woman who is being threatened by some man, we'll say she's being threatened to be raped by some man. So if you are present, you can kill that man if that's what it takes to stop him from raping her. You can hatsilos to save her b'nafsho through the life of the attacker, and that information is taught in the pasuk where the expression appears v'ein moshia lo, where the Torah says that the Torah describes her calling out for help and there was no one there to save her. She is innocent because she was being attacked with no desire on her part to cooperate. In other words, she was being attacked, threatened with rape. And in such instances, she is innocent, and the Torah describes that as a case where there was no one to save her. So you see from that if someone was there, he would have been allowed to save her any way possible, even if it's a matter of killing the attacker. Af rotseach nitan lahatzilo b'nafsho. So too, in the case of someone's life is being threatened because of an attacker, you can kill the attacker. You, the bystander, can kill the attacker in order to save the victim. So, what do you see here? You see that we learn from the topic of the na'aro hamurasa, where the Torah spells out that you can save her by taking the life of the attacker. So too, in the case of murder, you can save the victim by taking the life of the attacker. And another point, V'na'aro hamurasa merotzeach, and we learn concerning V'na'aro hamurasa from the case of the murderer. What point is that? Ma rotzeach yohoreg val yavor, just like in the case of the rotzeach, in the case of murder. So one must sacrifice his own life and not murder someone else. And that's the case which will be featured in the Gemara shortly, where some threatening individual comes and poses a choice to an individual, and that being either you kill him, and if you don't, so you yourself are going to be killed. So we say, in that case, Yehoreg, one shall allow himself to be killed, the Al Yavor, and not violate the prohibition of killing someone. So just like that is the case with regard to murder, Af Na'amu Rasa, Tehoreg, the Al Tavor. So too, if a woman or a man is put under duress and they are told to do this act of immorality or allow themselves to be killed and not commit that act of immorality, so the person must sacrifice their own life and not commit that act, the act of forbidden intimacy. In the course of this Tanaic source, we saw in the second diamond here that Ma Rotzech Yehoreg Val Yavor, there was an assumption made in this source that just like in the case of murder, if that is a choice that is being posed to an individual, either you kill someone else or allow oneself to be killed, one must sacrifice themselves and not violate the prohibition of murdering someone else. Well, where do you know that from? Because in the source itself, that was assumed as a fact, and we use that assumed fact to then learn to the case of immorality. So the Gemara asks, "Ushvichus domim gufei menolan." Where do you know that from? That one must sacrifice himself, yehoreg, allow himself to be killed, and not kill someone else. Where do we know that from? And the Gemara answers, and this takes a few lines to develop, hence we have a long answer marking. The Gemara says, very simply, svorahu. It's a point of logic. And you hear, here you have something, an illustration of how powerful the institution or the concept of svorah is in halacha. Svorah, meaning logic. Logic will lead us to this conclusion. And you can see it's a matter of literally life or death over here, and we're settling a topic, an issue of life or death through applying logic. And what is that? Ki hahu dos lekame derava. The logic will be seen in the following incident. Someone approached Rava, Amarle, and the speaker addresses Rava and says, Mori Duroi Omar Li, the authority who is in charge of the city, told me, Zil Katle Leplanya, I want you to go kill so and so. Vilo Katlina, Viloi Katlina Loch. And if you don't cooperate, if you don't kill that person, so I will kill you. That's, you can see in quotation marks, that is that's the story that was told to Rava, where within the story you have the storyteller, and the storyteller is reporting what the Moshel Ho'ir, which we'll call him the head of the city, was saying to him. Omale. So Rava addresses the person who was telling the story, whose life was basically being threatened, and the only way to save his life, he had to kill someone else. So Rava says, sorry, buddy. Liktaluch velo tiktol. Allow yourself to be killed, and you don't kill you don't kill the other guy. And why is that? My choses didomo didoch sumak tfei. What do you see to conclude that your blood is redder? Dilmo domo dahu gavro sumak tfei. Maybe the blood of the other fellow is redder. In other words, based on what would you think to sacrifice his life in order to preserve your own? Do you think that you have fewer sins than he has? One can never know which soul is most beloved to the Maker, to the Creator. And since one cannot know that, the situation is that a life is going to be lost, either one's own life or the other guy's life. So we say shevi al tasa, just sit and allow the life to be taken in a passive fashion, and not to actively take someone else's life. True, it's a function of this life versus another life, and since you don't really know whose life is more valued in the eyes of the Almighty, so we say, just sit in a passive fashion and allow one's own life to be taken, but don't proactively take someone else's life in order to preserve one's own life. That is a svara, and so we see that in the case of Shvichus Domim, also Yehoreg Ve'al Yavor, one has to sacrifice his own life and not violate the act of murder. Just like we said in the case of immorality and in the case of idolatry. Three topics where we say Yehoreg, one has to sacrifice his own life and not violate those areas. As you can see, the brackets comes to an end, it's closed, and as we said before, we now go back to Orlo and the realm of Isurei Hanoah in general. Marbar of Ashi, Ashkechei l'Ravina, means Marbar of Ashi met or found Ravina, Deshayef lo l'Barte, he was smearing his daughter, as Ravina was found smearing his daughter, Beguharki de Orlo. Rashi says, "Boiser zeisim tanim." This is a reference to olives that are young in their development, and they're olives from a tree that is within its first 3 years. Hence, it's called orla. Why was he smearing her with this? Rashi points out it was for refuah purposes. It was for therapeutic needs. Omar Lay, Mor Bravashi speaks up and says, Amur de Omar Abona Bishas Hasakono. Granted, one is allowed to use Isure Hano if there's an issue of something that's life threatening. Shelo Bishas Hasakono mi Omar. For a situation that's not life-threatening, who says one would be allowed to use Orla, which is an example of Isurei Hana, those items that are forbidden to benefit from. We have two versions as far as the answer that Ravina provides. Number one, Omarle, Hai Ishtot Samirta, the daughter, my daughter, is suffering from Ishtot Samirta, some type of feverish ailment, and this Ishtot Samirta Nami Kishas HaSakonadamia, it is also something that is like that which is life threatening. So since this is a dangerous ailment, so I am entitled to use the Orla. Iko Diamri Omale, another approach in explaining Ravina's response, or another approach to what Ravina's response was. Ravina says, Amale, midi derech hano ko'avidno. Do you think that I am using the olives in their normal way, in the normal way that one benefits from them? So Rashi says, derech hanoso la'achar shi'iz bashlu, after they're ripened, v'yotze shimnon v'vesavad, and they start producing oil in the oil press. He's not doing that. That's why we emphasized before, these are underdeveloped olives. So since his use of them at this point is in the unusual way, so that doesn't come under the prohibition of benefiting from Isurei Hanoah. And as we've learned in our previous daf, we saw that when it comes to malchus for in the use of Isur Hanoah, that is only if you're using them in their normal way. But if you're using them in their unusual way, and here there's an element of welfare, of health concern, so it becomes allowed. Since you're doing it shelo kederach hanoso, and he was using it, using that the isuri hano in their unusual way. As you can see, we have a slash mark, which indicates that that which follows is a new trend of thought. So almost we can call it a new sugya. We have a starred note on the inside margin where we write he'ora. B'sugya habo ha'gemara tadun b'frotim ha'kshurim l'nosei ha'yodua shel dovar she'eno miskavein. In this sugya, the Gemara will introduce a number of details within the realm of the topic known as Dovar Shein Miskavein, which means an act which we can say there's an act that's of a problematic nature, but you don't have you don't have intention to receive benefit from the outcome. That will become clear as we go through the Gemara and make reference to Rashi from time to time. On the outside margin, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading, a topic heading with a structural note, where you see diamonds Aleph and Beis featured, and they appear in the Gemara too. They will appear in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. They introduce Shnei Lushonos B'machloikis Abaye V'Rova, two versions of a controversy between Abaye and Rava. We will see in a few lines from here another marking, a bow tie, and this marking appears also in both Lushonos, and it highlights the expression Ki Pligi. Under what circumstances do Abaye and Rava argue? In other words, we will see in the Gemara certain points where there is unanimous acceptance of the rulings. After we go through the points that are not subject to controversy, the Gemara will then focus in at what is the point of controversy. And that's why we've highlighted with a bow tie that point. And that will be followed by a phrase that's double underlined. In other words, where we highlight the actual example or the actual situation that Abaye and Rava do argue about. So if you just look in the Gemara, you can see the first bow tie highlights Ki Pligi, the case of the Efsher Velo Mechavein. And in the second Lashon of the Gemara, Ki Pligi, Delo Efsher, V'komechavein. In effect, the opposite of the first Lashon. You notice in the first Lashon you saw the expression De Efsher. In the second Lashon you see Delo Efsher. In the first Lashon you see the expression V'lo Mechavein. And in the second Lashon you see the expression V'komechavein. We haven't explained these terms yet, but as far as the structure is concerned, we want to point out the difference between the two Lashonos. Another point that's worth noting is that we have a house marking, and the house marking will be a reference to the Tanoim that we'll discuss, and we'll point out that in the first Lashon, the Machlokis between Abaye and Rava is within the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. And that's why you can see in our Mivneh heading, we have the house, which is next to the word Aliba, and in the first Lashon it's going to be Aliba de Rabbi Shimon, and in the second Lashon it will be Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. That the Machlokas Abaye and Rava will be within the Tano Rabbi Yehuda. So that's the structure. And we continue reading our note. Be'inyan, these are two Lashonos. Be'inyan, and the Hano Habo Lo La'odam Baal Korcho. The benefit or the pleasure a person receives in an unwilling fashion, in other words, against his will, he nevertheless does experience benefit. Machlukosam eino b'chol hamatzovim. We're also pointing out that the machlokes Abaye and Rava does not arise in all of the following cases. So we'll present different scenarios, and we're emphasizing that there isn't necessarily a machlokes in all of the different scenarios. As we pointed out with our structural notes, the machlokes Abaye and Rava is limited to the cases that we highlighted with the bow ties and the double underline. So, number one, we're going to contrast as the case of Efsher or E-Efsher, Libodel Mehano, where the person either can remove himself or extricate himself from the situation of pleasure, or he's in a situation where he can't extricate himself. And a second area that has to be looked into is miskaven versus eino miskaven lehonos, where he has intention or lack thereof in terms of experiencing the pleasure. He has no intention, or he does have intention. We'll again factor these things into the sugya as we go ahead. We should note that there is a chart that we have at the bottom, and this chart has a dual purpose. It can be used as an introduction to the sugya, and it can also be used as a review of the sugya. So, if we take a look at it first as an introduction to the sugya, of course, at this point it will be it'll be less understandable, but at least it serves as a way to see the sugya in a chart form. So we're looking at the bottom of our daf, and you can see we have something called tavla, a table, kedei l'sader be'ezim matzovim, to arrange or make order of what situations chokim Abaye v'Rava be'ezi yesh haskoma. What are the situations where Abaye and Rava disagree, and under what circumstances is there agreement? So across the top of the chart you see two columns. One is called Lo Efshur Libodel, where he just can't, he's locked into the situation. We could say in a manner of saying he's chained into the situation, versus a case of Efshur Libodel, where he doesn't necessarily have to be there. And down the side of the chart you see two entries. One, it says Lo Mechavein Lehonos, where he doesn't think about or he doesn't have intention to benefit. And the second entry is Mechavein Lehonos. So now, let's go through the chart. Imagine you have a situation where a person is Lo Efshur Libodel. He can't extricate himself. He has to be there. But Lo Mechavein Lehonos, he has no intention of benefiting. So we note here that in both Lashonos, in Aleph and in Beis, L'kulei Alma Shori, everyone will agree it's okay. He's allowed to be there, so to speak. He has no choice. It's a situation where he has to be there. Again, we're not giving actual examples yet, but we're speaking in general terms, where a person has to be there, and at the same time, he is not intending to enjoy or receive the benefit that he is receiving. So we say everyone agrees it's okay. The next situation we'll look at is going across on the chart. Again, we're dealing with a person who has no kavona to benefit. However, he's in a situation where where it's optional for him to be there. That's called Efshur Libodel. So, in reading our chart, Alibo de Rabbi Shimon, within the Tana Rabbi Shimon. Now, we should make a point, let's say a point of introduction to Shitas Rabbi Shimon, we know in Hilchus Shabbos, for example, in Masechus Shabbos, Rabbi Shimon is associated with the Shita Dover She'eno Miskaven, something that you don't have an intention for, where, let us say, you're engaged in some type of activity and a forbidden result transpires. You didn't have an intention for that forbidden result. That's called Dover She'eno Miskaven. You didn't have Kavon, you didn't have intent for that outcome. Rabbi Shimon says Mutter. He says it's okay. So within the Tana of Rabbi Shimon, if you're in a situation where you really don't have kavana for the outcome, however, you didn't have to be there. So we read as follows: Le Abaye Mutter, Le Rava Oser. So according to Loshen number one, this is reflected by the Aleph that you see in the diamond on the right hand side of this chart. According to Loshen number one, our first Loshen in the Gemara, within the Tana Rabbi Shimon, Abai says it's okay. This is a standard Rabbi Shimon, which is Dover Shena Miskaven is Mutter. Rava, on the other hand, will tell us that since you had an option of not being there, Efsherli Bodel, even Rabbi Shimon will tell you it's Osir. According to Loshon Beis, the case of Efsherli Bodel, but Lo Miskaven Lehanos, that is a Machloikis Tanoyim, where Rabbi Yehuda will say it's forbidden, and Rabbi Shimon will tell you, since it's Eino Miskaven, it's okay. Now we move on to the lower level of this chart, the second level, where you have a case of someone that has intention to benefit. He's called Mechavein Lehonos. He has Kavona to benefit. Well, if he has Kavona to benefit, according to the first Lashon, someone who is in a situation where he has intention to benefit from, we'll say benefit from the forbidden, of course. So, according to the first Lashon, Lechule Alma Osir, according to everybody, that is forbidden. Once you have intention to benefit, even if you're in a situation where Lo Efsherli Bodel, where you can't extricate yourself from that situation, but you have intention to enjoy the forbidden, everyone agrees that is Osir. According to the Beis, the second Lashon in the Gemara, so it breaks down as follows. If it's you have Kavona to benefit, but you have to be there, you're Lo Efsherli Bodel, according to the Beis Lashon. So within the Tana of Rabbi Yehuda, you'll have a Machlokes Abaye and Rava. According to Abaye, it's Mutter, because the Tana Rabbi Yehuda doesn't emphasize the issue of kavona, yes or no. He looks at the circumstances, if you're under duress or not, or you're in a situation that you have to be there. So, according to Abaye, since we're dealing within Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, and the issue of kavona becomes irrelevant, so Abaye would say Mutter. Rava will say it's Usr. Because Rabbi Yehuda is not coming to be a mekil. When Rabbi Yehuda is known to hold over She'ein Miskaven as Usr, certainly where you have Kavona, it certainly will be Usr. Now, in the, we'll call the worst case scenario, whereby you are Efsherli Bodel, you don't have to be there, you can get out of it. And you're there anyway, and you have intention to benefit, you have intention to experience the pleasure, the chulei alma osir, everyone will agree that is forbidden. Now we turn to the Gemara. Itmar. We're looking at the Gemara halfway down the page, where the slash appears. Itmar hanoa bo loi l'odom baal korcho. Pleasure that comes upon a person against his will. If you can imagine, a person was walking along on a very hot day, and someone poured cold water over him. So that would be an example of pleasure that comes to a person against his will. He didn't have any intention for someone to pour water over him. Someone splashed water on him, but he enjoyed it. It relieved him. That, of course, is not a halachic example. It's just a situation that would describe this phrase. So, hano, a pleasure that comes to a person against his will. Abai Omar Muteris, it's okay, it's allowed. Rava Omar Asura, it's forbidden. And now the Gemara fills in the details that we spoke about in our chart. Efshir v'komachavein. That's a situation where a person could have extricated himself. And he's there anyway, though. And he has intention to benefit. Another situation. Lo efshir v'komachavein. He cannot extricate himself, but he has intention to benefit. Kule alma lo pligi d'osur. Everyone will agree that that is osur. And you'll notice we dashed underline the komachavein. And on our chart, you can see this at the when the on our chart where you notice the entry on the right hand column, the lower entry, Mechavin Lahonos, where you saw the Aleph in a diamond, whether it's Lo Efshirli Bodil or it's Efshirli Bodil, everyone agrees is Usser. And that's what we just saw in these 2 points, 1 and 2, where there's Kavona to benefit from the forbidden. It is osur. It's osur to experience that pleasure. Number 3, lo efshir ve lo mechavein. If you cannot extricate yourself, you have to be there, and you don't have intention to experience the pleasure. Kuli alma lo pligi deshori. Everyone will agree that it's okay. And this too, you can see if you look carefully on the chart, in the first, the upper right-hand square, where the aleph in the diamond appears, it says, L'kulei amush, that's the case of Lav Shil Bodel and Lo Mechavin Lahanos. Continuing in the Gemara, Ki Pligi, under what circumstances do Abaye and Rava disagree? Now, we had underlined Abaye and Rava just a couple lines up, and you saw they argued. Abaye was lenient. He says something is mutter, and Rava says it's usher. Well, under what circumstances are they arguing? The Gemara explains, the efshir v'lo mechavein. He could have extricated himself, but he didn't have intention to experience the pleasure. So you have the emphasis is, we could say, on the fact that he had no kavana. We have a bracketed section, which is here for initial skipping purposes. We're saying that when is there a machlokes, the efshir velo mechavein, and you skip the brackets, alibo de Rebbe Shimon. Their machlokes is within the Tanaic opinion. Don't forget, Abaye and Rava are Amoroyim, and they're arguing within the opinion of the Tana Rebbe Shimon. Rebbe Shimon was known to hold Dover Shein Miskavim Mutter, where there is no intention. So we say it's allowed. Now here we're dealing with a situation where there's no intention, and yet there is a machlokes Abaye and Rava. We'll have to explain that. Before we go further, though, we did skip the brackets. Let's read the Gemara again, but this time including the brackets. We read, Ki pligi de efshir velo mechavein. You're in a situation where you could have extricated yourself, you didn't, and you benefited, but you didn't have intention from benefiting from the forbidden. Ve'alibo de Rabbi Yehuda de Yomar Dover She'ein Miskaven Oser, and within the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, who says that even where you have no intention for the forbidden outcome, it nevertheless is forbidden, Kuli Amalo Pligi to Oser, everyone will agree, even Abaye will concede that it's forbidden. That means if you were to ask Abaye, according to Rabbi Yehuda, what would the din be in an Efshir V'lo Mechavin situation, even Abaye will agree it's forbidden. Ki pligi, when is there a machlokes, alibo to Rabbi Shimon? It's within the Tana of Rabbi Shimon, the Omar Dover Shein Mezgavin Mutter, who holds, in general, where you have no kavona for the forbidden outcome, it's okay. The case that's featured in Masechet Shabbos is a case of someone who is dragging a chair along a dirt floor, and he has no kavana for the ditch that might follow as a result of his dragging the chair on the floor. And making a ditch on Shabbos with intent would be something that's forbidden. But here he's dragging in the case of Dover Shein Miskaven, he has no intention of creating the ditch. So Rabbi Shimon would say it's okay to drag the chair on the dirt floor. So we're saying now that the machlokes, Rava and Abaye, concerns a case of efsher v'lo mechavin, where you didn't have to do that particular act, and you did it anyway, but you experienced pleasure from the forbidden, but you didn't have intention to experience that pleasure. So the Gemara says, within Rabbi Shimon, who holds in general, Dover Shein Miskaven is Mutter, Abaye, Rabbi Shimon Abaye, who said it's Mutter, is a straightforward reflection of Shitas Rabbi Shimon, where the emphasis is placed on the Kavona, or the lack thereof. And since Rabbi Shimon says, Dover Shein Miskaven is Mutter, this case of Efshir V'lo Mechaven is okay. The Rava Omar. Rava says, Ad kan lo ka'omer Rabbi Shimon. Up till now, Rabbi Shimon says his point that Dover She'ein Miskaven is Mutter Elohecha de lo Efsher. That's only under circumstances where you couldn't extricate yourself. You needed that. Whatever you did, whatever happened, is something that you absolutely needed. And Rashi explains on the first line under the Gemara text, de lo Efsher Kigon. We mentioned the case of someone dragging a bed or a chair on a dirt floor. Well, you needed the chair to move it from place A to place B. And they're too heavy for you. You can't lift them up off the ground and place them on your shoulder. So given circumstances like that, that is where Rabbi Shimon would be mekil, says Rava. So Rabbi Shimon says that Dover Shein Miskaven is Mutter, as Rava says, that's Hecha de lo Efsher, Aval Hecha de Efsher, as we're back in the Gemara, where you have a situation, let's say a small chair that you could have lifted up, put it on your shoulder and carry it that way, and you instead opted to drag it on the floor, thereby creating a ditch. It's true you didn't have kavana for the ditch, but you could have moved the chair in a way that wouldn't have resulted, so that is forbidden. That's what we say, reading that line again, that up till now, Rabbi Shimon says, Elohecha de lo Efsher, Rabbi Shimon is Mekel, where it was lo Efsher, how Aval Hecha de Efsher lo, where you could have done it in another way, in a mutter way, and you nevertheless did it in the way result that caused the forbidden result, that Rabbi Shimon would not allow. Ika de Amri, another approach. Efsher V'lo Mechavein, we have a little 4. This corresponds to the circled 4 in the first Lashon. This is the same case of Efsher V'lo Mechavein. So, Hainu Pluktayu de Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbi Shimon. According to the second Lashon, that case is the machlokes, is where you would have a machlokes tanoim. According to Rabbi Shimon, since there's no kavona, it's okay. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would be forbidden. Rabbi Yehuda would say usser. And that's across the boards, whether it's Abai, it's both Abai and Rava agree. Let's say that again. Both Abaye and Rava agree that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Efshir v'lo mechavin would be usser, and according to Rabbi Shimon, Abaye and Rava will agree it will be mutter. Lo Efshir v'lo ko mechavin, the case of where you couldn't extricate yourself, you needed to do that, whatever happened, and you did not have any intention to benefit, Kule Alma lo pligi deshari. Again, Abaye and Rava will agree that, according to everyone, that is mutter. And we point out that this is the same as the first lashon. Once again, this the case of lo efshir v'lo kamechavein, and if you look at the chart and try to find that that block of lo efshir and lo mechavein, you can see everyone agrees it's mutter, and you can see on our chart how the Aleph and Beis have the same entry of Lekulei Alma Shori. Turning back to the Gemara, Ki Pligi, under what circumstances will Abaye and Rava argue? De Lo Efshir V'Komachavim, where you couldn't extricate yourself from the situation, you needed to be in that situation, but you had intention to benefit from the from that which was forbidden. And we also have the same structure where brackets we skipped. We said there's a machlokes in the case of lo efshir v'komachavin alibo de Rebbe Yehuda. Their machlokes is within the opinion of the Tana Rebbe Yehuda. Let's read the Gemara again with the brackets. We say ki pligi the lo efshir v'komachavin the alibo de Rebbe Shimon the Ozel Boser Kavona, and according to the Tana Rabbi Shimon, who emphasizes the issue of intent, since here you have intention to benefit from the forbidden, Kulei Alma Lo Pligi De Oser, both Abaye and Rava, even Abaye will concede that this would be forbidden. Ki Pligi, when do Abaye and Rava disagree? Aliba De Rebbe Yehuda, according to the Tana Rebbe Yehuda, the Omar lo shno miskavin v'lo shno shein miskavin. Rabbi Yehuda holds that whether or not, even if you don't have intention to benefit from the forbidden, efshir also efshir means where you could have extricated yourself, you didn't need to be there. It will be forbidden, even though you had no intention to benefit. Abaye ki Rabbi Yehuda. Abaye, who says everything is totally on Efshir versus Lo Efshir. Therefore, in this case, where again we're referring to the case where we have the double underline, it was a case of Lo Efshir. Abaye, who had said above Mutter, well, that is what Rabbi Yehuda would be expected to say. So in a case of lo efshir, where you can't extricate yourself or you need to be there, it's mutter, even if you have intention to benefit. Once again, Rabbi Yehuda is the Tana that de-emphasizes the issue of intention. It all, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the make or break, it all depends on could you have extricated yourself or not. So Abaye is like Rabbi Yehuda. The Rava Omar Loch, we're at the top of Chof Vav Omar Aleph. Rava will tell you Ad Kan Lo Komar Rabbi Yehuda She'ein Miskavein Ki Miskavein Elo Lechumra. Up till now we saw Rabbi Yehuda de-emphasizing the issue of Kavona, namely he was telling you that non-kavona is like kavona if the result was going to be stringency. Namely, even though you didn't have intention for the forbidden outcome, Rabbi Yehuda was going to say that it's forbidden as if you had intention. That's when the comparison between ein miskaving to miskaving resulted in a stringency. Avo miskaving kishein miskaving lekula lo. But to suggest that Rabbi Yehuda would go so far as to say that if you have intention, it's like not having intention, resulting in a leniency just because you were under duress or you were under circumstances that you could not avoid, that would not be sufficient reason for Rabbi Yehuda to be lenient. As the Gemara goes on, you can see that we have a new marking. You can see a trapezoid form, and that emphasizes the Meno Amino Lo expression, where each one, Abaye and Rava, will be trying to show where they know what they said to be true. As I pause to think about the presentation of the sugya till now, there is still an element of vagueness because we haven't used too many concrete examples. We did make reference to the dragging of the chair and the resultant ditch in the dirt floor. However, as we go on in the Gemara, our hope is that through the examples the Gemara gives, the topics that were presented in a somewhat abstract fashion will become more tangible. So we continue now in the Gemara, third line from the top of Chov Vav Amud Aleph. Omar Abaye, Mino Amino Lo. From where do I know my position? And Abaye represented the position of leniency, and of course under very specific circumstances, as we saw with the bow tie marking on Chof Hei Omid Beis. So Abaye says, from where do I know my position of leniency? Disanya. We have a Tanaic source. Omru Alav al Rabon Yochan ben Zakkai. It was reported concerning Rabbi Yochan ben Zakkai. So Yoshev Betzilo Shel Heichal V'Doresh Kol Hayom Kulo. He was sitting in the shadow cast by the wall of the Beis HaMikdash, and present there were a crowd of people who were listening to his Torah lecture. The background to this is that there was no Beis Medrash that was sufficiently large to contain the crowd that came to hear his lecture, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's drosha. So what did he do? Well, he positioned himself in the shadow of the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, let us work with the assumption that it is forbidden to derive any personal benefit, in this case the shade, it's forbidden to derive personal benefit from that which is sanctified, namely the Beis HaMikdash. And yet, he was deriving this pleasure. The hohocha, the lo efsher, umechavein v'shori. Here you have a case of lo efsher. He couldn't extricate himself from the situation, meaning he had to darshan, he had to lecture. Rashi says he was darshaning the hilchus achag, the laws of the holiday. That is something that one's obligated to engage in. If you are a rabbinic figure and a holiday is approaching, you are obligated to lecture on the laws of the upcoming holiday. So therefore, since he's obligated, it's classified as lo efsher. He couldn't extricate himself. He couldn't remove himself from that role. And he does have kavona. He has kavanah to benefit from the shade cast by the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. And it's okay. This is a case of, once again, we're being a bit repetitive, but it's a case of lo efsher v'kol mechavein. Now, if you look at our markings on Chof Hei Omid Beis, you see this is reflected in the second, the Ikod Di Amri, where we have the second bow tie, if you will, and the double underlined expression of lo efsher v'kol mechavein, and Abaye says it's mutter. So you see, that is what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was practicing. So this would serve as a source, a Tanaic source, serving as a basis for Abaye. The Rava, Omar Rava, who held otherwise, he has to explain this Tanaic source. Well, he says, Shaini Hechal, the Lesoichoi Osui. The Hechal, the Beis HaMikdash, was designed to contain that which is within. The fact that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was outside of the Hechal, so he was outside of the walls. The walls were designed to contain that which is within them. Whatever takes place outside the walls is categorized as Shaloi Kederech Hana'oso. It's not its normal way of benefiting. And since it's not the normal way of benefiting, since the walls are designed to contain that which is within, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was outside of them, it's okay. Omar Rava, Mino Amin Olah. So now it's Rava's turn, so to speak, to say where does he know his position of stringency from. This too is a source dealing with the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash contained the inner sanctum, which is known as the Kodesh HaKodoshim. The Kodesh HaKodoshim was a place that, under normal circumstances, only one person was allowed to go in there, and only once a year, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. However, there are times that the structure needed to be repaired. This source describes the physical structure as one of having two stories to it. There was the basic ground floor of the where the Kodesh HaGoshim, where the first Beis HaMikdash, the Oron HaKodesh, was located there, and there was a second story above that, and in addition, there was a hole in the floor of the hole of the second story, or the ceiling of the first story, whichever way you're looking at it. But there was a passageway through which one could descend, going down from the upper passage down into the lower area where you have the Oron, the holy ark containing the Ten Commandments. It should be noted that under normal circumstances, it's forbidden to gaze upon that, upon the Oron. What do workers who have to get in there, what are they to do if they need to get in there to repair the walls of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Kodesh HaKodoshim? So let us see the source. Lulin hoyupsuchin ba'alias beis kodshei hakadoshim. Lulin are these passageways through the floor from the aliyah is the upper story of the Kodesh HaKodoshim, of the Holy of Holies, leading down into the actual area known as the Kodesh HaKodoshim. So, and what were these lulin for? Shebohen mishal shalin es ha'umnin. Mishal shalin means umnin means workers. Mishashim means they were lowered. There were workers that were lowered. They would enter the Kodesh HaKodashim not through the main entranceway, which is what the Kohen Gadol did on Yom Kippur, but rather they came from the upper story down through these lulin, through these holes, betevos, and they were in, describe this as three-sided boxes. So that they were surrounded, on the one hand they were exposed to the wall, but going around their backs, so to speak, their sides, and around their backs were walls of these tables, of these boxes. And why were they enclosed in this way? Kidei shelo yozunu einayim mibeis kodesh hakodashim. So that their eyes should not, yozunu is to, Rashi says, loshen hanoh. So an expression indicating pleasure and benefit. Rashi says, if we read the Rashi Yozunu, he says, Loshon Hanah, Mimaris, skipping the brackets there, he says, Mimaris noi hamalocha v'nehne. Let's read that again. Loshon hano, kimazonos shemasbi atzmo. The word yazuno has the root of it, similar to the root of the word mazonos, food that one satiates himself with. So too here, the eyes would be experiencing the pleasure of seeing that which is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and you can see we are trying to restrict that. So the workers were descended into the Kodesh HaKadoshim through these, in these tevos, as we said, Kedei Shelo Yozunu Einem Mibeis Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's the Tanaic source with the facts presented quite clearly. Veha Hocha. Now, in this case, the lo efsher, the komechave, it's lo efsher. They cannot extricate themselves. They need to be there. They have to be there. They don't have a matter. It's not a matter of choice. The walls need to be repaired. And if they didn't have these boxes, they would be seeing, would be experiencing. They would have be seeing the interior of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, intending to view it and enjoy it. The ulcer. We had to make these boxes. That's why they made the boxes, so as to prevent them from being in a situation where they will have kavona to benefit from what they would be otherwise seeing. So once again, this is a case of lo efsher, v'komechavein, and like Rava says, it's ulcer. Once again, it's worth pointing out that this is the what we saw in the Iko Diamri, the case of lo efsher v'komechavein, and we have the machlokas Abaye and Rav, and Rav is showing the basis of his stringent opinion. The Gemara responds v'tisbara. V'tisbara means like you have to stop in your tracks and offer an explanation for the following. How can you say that this is a situation that will be a basis for Rava when the Omar Reb Shimon ben Pasi, Omar Reb Shimon ben Levi, Mishum Bar Kapora, the following was said in the name of Bar Kapora, Kul Umare V'Reach Ein Bohem Mishum Me'ila. Kul is a reference to sounds, let's say the music emanating from the Beis HaMikdash. Mare is what we were just talking about, things that you see, that which you notice visually. Reach is a reference to the ktores, to the incense that were offered on a daily basis in the Beis HaMikdash. Ein bohem mishum ila means that if you do benefit from these things, you're not considered in violation of mi'ila. Mi'ila is the Torah prohibition of deriving personal benefit from things that are sanctified. For example, if you were to, let us say, ride around on the back of an animal dedicated as a korban chatos, or using any of the elements of the Beis HaMikdash were dedicated for sanctified purposes, and you go ahead and use them for your own purposes, that is a sin, and it's known as me'ila. And as a result of that, you would have to bring a korban called an osha me'ilos. However, when it comes to the audio pleasure of hearing the music, or the visual pleasure from seeing things in the Beis HaMikdash, or the smell, enjoying the smell of the Ktores, that is not considered a violation. That having been said, so how can we cite the case of the workers in the Kodesh HaKadoshim as being a basis for Rava, when even if they did see that, they would not be in violation? All that we can really conclude from the case of the workers is that there is an exceptional stringency, that male is a heightened form of restriction that we accepted upon ourselves. In other words, beyond the letter of the law, we accepted this additional stringency when it comes to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So you can't, it wouldn't be fair, so to speak, or totally, it wouldn't be accurate to use this as a basis for Rava, who was trying to teach us something that is by letter of the law. Namely, Rava's position was lo efshir v'kamachavin is usher, when this case doesn't reflect something that's letter of the law, but rather an extreme stringency that they accepted on themselves. Iko di Amri, another version of Rava and his attempt to show a basis for his opinion. Omar Rava mino amin Allah, from where do I know my position of lo efshir v'komachavin as being osir? The Sanya, we have the following source. And this, in fact, is what we saw quoted in the first Lashon just a few lines ago. Desanya, Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Mishum Bar Kapora, Kol Umare V'Reach Ein Bohem Mishum Me'ilah. So we said, benefiting from the audio, from the visual, or from the smell, does not result in Me'ilah. But here we make an inference. Me'ilah hu daleka ha isura ika. It is true that if one does benefit from these things, he's not considered in violation of the prohibition known as Me'ilah, which results, if one were to be a transgressor of such an act, he'd have to bring a sacrifice. So true, there's no Me'ilah. Me'ilah means if he does benefit, he won't be guilty and obligated to bring a sacrifice. Ha'isura iko. However, there is a prohibition. My lav. The prohibition to benefit, is it not in fact referring to those people that are standing within? The lo efshir, the komechavein v'aser. If, let's say, referring to the people inside the Beis Hamikdash that are performing the avodas Beis Hamikdash, the service of the Beis Hamikdash, they have to be there. And if they have intention to benefit from it, well, we just inferred from the source a moment ago that it would be usher. So here, once again, we have a case of lo efshir, the komechavein, and it's usher. So when Bar Kapora says koil umara v'reach, there's no me'ilah, but there is an isser. Is it not referring to those people that are standing inside? They are doing their avodas beis hamikdash, and it's usher for them to have intention to benefit from the thing, from those things. That would be a basis that would serve as a proof to Rava's position. The Gemara, though, pulls the rug from under his feet and says, lo, that's not what the circumstances are behind Bar Kapora's rules. Rather, la'oysan ha'oimden b'chutz, that's a reference to people that are standing outside the Beis HaMikdash. They don't have to be there. They don't have to be there, and if they're there, and they have kavona to benefit, so regarding that, we say, that is forbidden. However, for those that are standing within, there is no, not only is there no me'ilah, but there isn't even an isur. So, as far as the Gemara's response here, we don't see a basis. We're not saying that that Rava's wrong, but we can't use this Tanaic source as a basis for Rava's ruling of stringency. As you can see, we've spilled over a bit from our Daf Yomi quota, but of course we were sticking within the flow and the topic underhand. You can see that there is a bracketed section that appears, and under our Nosei heading, which Amir Tzashem will pick up with next time, we have written on the side, the Nosei in the brackets features Kol Umar V'Reach Ein Bohem Mishum Me'ilah, and you'll ask, like, why are there brackets here? So in our note, by the starred note, it says, Achrei HaSegurah HaMagmor Mamshich HaLodun Machlokes Abai V'Rova. The Gemara will pick up on the Machlokes between Abai and Rova that we've been discussing till now, B'mikre Shel Loi Efshar U'miskavein. The Efshar V'lo Miskavein. Mitzvah Shem, next time, as we said, we'll we'll go over this again to explain the Gemara. But before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.